truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
But you didn't know they were going to come after you.
No, and neither did the campaign. Had the campaign known, then they would have had, practically speaking, things.
Very saddened by the news. I think Oprah has done a fantastic job.
Actually, I got a big high five from Callan Lutz tonight. He liked them a lot.
Crewe's chief of police said they first became aware of the alleged crime 4 months ago.
You blew it!
Yeah, something like that.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till... I don't know why, you know, I just love that.
You like that drop, don't you?
I do, man. I love that whole... Because it's one of my favorite movies. World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment where reality is the bitch, where we go through the looking glass of talk radio and take you to the other side, baby, you know. Take me to the other side, like the song says. Coming up, California students are protesting a fee hike on, you know, university tuition, etc. Now, in conjunction with that, we're going to have on Vernon Dozier, who is an educator. This man is a high school administrator. And he is very much against further fundings for public universities, and that monies are best put into the private schools. And in fact, he has an educational project that he feels should supersede monies going to universities, whether they be in California or anywhere in this country. So we'll have him on the program. Dean Wheeler is going to join us later. Dean is from the Northern California Anti-War Alliance, as well as the Holistic Center there in Novato, and he'll be talking about the retirement of Oprah Winfrey that has gotten a lot of conversation going on today. And also, two anti-Obama billboards are causing a little bit of a stir, and they're really, really stupid billboards. Mindful of the fact that the political conversation in this country has gotten so dumb that if you say anything like this, boy, you know, I really think George Bush did a good job, and you must be a conservative. You know, all the conversation is over. Or if you say, you know, those billboards about Obama, those are really stupid, and they're not very fair. You got to be an Obama ass licker. That's how dumb the dialogue politically in this country has gotten. There's only one level dumber than that, and that's the billboards that they've got up now saying Obama's a jihadist. There are human beings in our midst who actually put that billboard on the freeway on a... And hey, you know, you can do what you want. There's another one that says that something along the lines that if the president doesn't do what we want, if they don't listen to us, prepare for war, right? And I'm sure that the simpletons that put that one up would say the following thing. Well, we're meaning that in a very tangential, it's a very symbolic, it's not quite what you mean. What we mean is war, the war of ideas, the war of words. Right, right. All right, so we'll talk about that. I don't believe that. I think what they are using are explosive terms that they hope will incite people to a level of violence. I'm saying that right now. And when that violence happens, they'll say, we didn't mean violence, but look what the government has inspired. It's not our fault that people are angry. The same way that a guy will say, I didn't mean people should go out and kill an abortion doctor, but I mean it is murder. What he's doing, and people are going to be outraged, but no, 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 no. We don't believe that. Well, that's the same kind of hateful rhetoric that I believe prepare for war. I think that's the same kind of hateful rhetoric that prepare for war represents. And I think the people that put that billboard up mean it, not literally, but they aren't going to be all that disappointed if some kind of a violent turn takes place in this country around health care, because that's all we're talking about. All right, 87, and I happen to be a patriotic American, which means that I guess if somebody said to me, which side are you on, Hendry, if it's, like the people who are put the billboard up in the government, you know.
You'd be with the billboard?
What do you mean the billboard, man?
Why are you going to be with a billboard? You just got done saying the nuts. Oh.
Yeah, I'd be with the billboard militia. 877-876-PHIL is the number here every night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So stick around for Dean Wheeler as well as Vernon Dozier tonight. And we'll start off, of course, with the biggest story of the day, one that was consuming a great deal of broadcast time. As a matter of fact, I was standing here in the studio this afternoon, and I saw Oprah Winfrey on all the TV screens that we have in the studio. And I had the sound down, and I looked up, and I glanced back at what I was reading. Then I looked up, and I glanced back. Well, she was going on and on and on, and I said, is this is like an address to the nation or something. That having been said, she's a great broadcaster. There's no question about it. She's been a phenomenal success in broadcasting. She's used her money to the extent that she can. I know she doesn't have a lot of it, and,
Yeah, she's getting by.
Well, she's getting by, and she's got that spread up there in Montecito. Anyway, she's used her money for, educational purposes. I shouldn't question. People can do what they want with their money. In any event, Oprah Winfrey has retired. Oprah Winfrey came on the scene after the afternoon talk show had been pioneered by people like Phil Donahue, but she came along and she took it to a whole new level. She became the big sister and the best friend of the people that watched her show, sort of to everybody in the country one time or another. She was holding back tears as she told her studio audience that she would end her show in 2011, and people began to laugh. They didn't do that. After a quarter of a century on the air, though, she did tell them that she was going to end her show. She said a prayer, and she said that, she said prayer. She didn't say a prayer, right?
No, she didn't say it. She said she did pray, but she wasn't going to pray on TV because of the separation of the church. Not the church and state.
She's not going to pray on TV because of the church and state. She didn't pray on TV. She said a prayer and careful thought led her to her decision. Church and state. Here on today's show, Oprah Winfrey makes the big announcement, audio courtesy of Harpo Productions. I got to play this one more time.
You blew it!
All right, here it is, audio courtesy of Harpo Productions.
After much prayer and months of careful thought, I've decided that next season, season 25, will be the last season of the Oprah Winfrey Show.
No! No, stop
over
it!
Over the next couple of days, you may hear a lot of speculation in the press about why I am making this decision now.
Mm-hmm.
And that will mostly be conjecture. So I wanted you to hear this directly from me.
And then Stedman came out and said,
"You blew it!"
Now, in the next clip, Oprah breaks down as she thanks her viewers for tuning in.
After much prayer.
That ain't it. And this is it. You know what?
You blew it!
Here it is.
These years with you.
Come
our
on.
Viewers.
Come on, Oprah. All right.
Have
on.
Enriched my life beyond all measure.
You're doing good.
And you all have graciously invited me into your living rooms, into your kitchens, and into your lives. And for some of you, longtime Oprah viewers, you have literally grown up with me. We've grown together. You had your families, and you raised your children, and you left a spot for me in your morning or your afternoon, depending on when the Oprah Show airs in your town.
Central Time.
So I just wanted to say that whether you've been here with me from the beginning or you came on board last week, I want you all to know that my relationship with you is one that I hold very dear.
Glenn, what do you think?
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
All right, now we had a series of other clips we want to play throughout the program, and we have Dean Wheeler who's going to be coming up, and he's going to be talking about this. It is I think it's a watershed event in broadcasting because Oprah Winfrey took a hold of a format and made it her own, and she was so successful that today on television, I believe it was on Good Morning America, as a matter of fact, there was this comment made by Tina Brown. Now, Tina Brown's a great writer and a great magazine editor, but I believe the hyperbole here is almost, you want to laugh. And I don't even think that, I think it's an insult to Michelle Obama, if you want my honest opinion. Here's the comment.
Interestingly, the only woman, actually, that I have seen, only kind of a figure that I've seen that could possibly ever fill that void, would be Michelle Obama. Because Michelle Obama also has great empathy, great intelligence, a great sense of herself, a kind of dignity, but has a warmth and an embracing quality. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Michelle's post-White House career wouldn't include that kind of television role.
Tina?
You blew it!
What the hell are you? Okay, so that's maybe she's got a point. I don't know. I just think that the First Lady having to somehow elevate herself to the level of TV personality, maybe, yep, times have changed, okay? Times have changed. 877-876-PHIL. So that's the story. In a nutshell, Oprah Winfrey is gone, but not forgotten. The powerhouse show became the foundation of a multi-billion-dollar media empire, but it saw its ratings slip 7% last season. Whatever. After rebounding in the last couple of months, ratings up and down. Although Dr. Phil is in the tank, isn't he?
Yeah, he sucks.
So he, Dr. Phil, I'll give Oprah Winfrey the benefit of the doubt, but you stink. Now, anyway, she is widely expected to start a new talk show of her own, the Oprah Winfrey Network, Oh, on her own, Oprah Winfrey Network, a much-delayed 50-50 joint venture with Discovery Communications that is projected to debut in January 2011. OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, is to replace the Discovery Health Channel, which no one was watching, and will debut in some 80 million homes. She'll get out of her contract with Sirius and with XM and say, thank you and thanks for the money, but boy, what a dull scene that is. Winfrey offered no specifics about her plans for the future, except to say that she has two huge houses, one in Hawaii and one in California, and are you serious with that question? Plus, she intends to purchase the best possible shows during her last 18 months on the air. Not produce, purchase. I read purchase, it says produce. So I guess...
Yeah, I guess this is appropriate.
You blew it!
877-876-PHIL. So Oprah Winfrey, again, a phenomenally successful broadcaster, and really... by the way, here is something a little disingenuous. These are passers-by on the street who were asked to react to Oprah Winfrey leaving the show. And I found this interesting because I didn't really believe... These people were some of them were trying to pretend like it ain't no thing.
I'm very saddened by the news. I think Oprah has done a fantastic job. She's given to so many people on her show, and she's concerned about people.
Oprah who?
Yeah, right.
I have to say I've never seen her program, and it just doesn't... That sort of entertainment doesn't appeal to me. So I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I was actually. I read it just not long ago on the web, and I was like, oh, my God, she's closing shop.
Yeah, it's...
So, yeah, I was disappointed because I watch her. I DVR her.
That one guy says, I never watch her show, but I don't like that kind of entertainment. Well, you must have watched it because then you know what kind of entertainment it is. So
you blew it!
Guess what? 877-876-PHIL. Coming up later on, we have Vernon Dozier on the California educational crisis and perhaps across the country, the idea of public schools. And how much more money can we shovel into them? Also, Dean Wheeler on the retirement of Oprah Winfrey. 877-876-PHIL. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com and at Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow.
Phil Henry.
Yeah, something like that.
Thinking about that?
Yeah, she'd be great.
I think it'd be a way better, you know, and they keep the bottle in the lightning, you know.
Keep the bottle in the lightning.
I mean, you know, lightning the bottle.
No, welcome back to the program. I'm talking to Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. We also have Jason Rantz and Ralph Rodriguez back in control. But you guys are saying Sarah Palin. Are you high on a mixture of chemicals?
What are you talking about? Everybody loves her, and she did a book and everything.
Yeah.
You guys are stone free, man. Let me tell you something. First of all, Sarah Palin ain't got no professional broadcast background. You know.
No, oh, she did. She did a sports show.
Alaska.
She did a sports show on TV in Alaska for about 5 minutes, and then she went off and she did something else. Oprah Winfrey is a professional broadcaster. She was a major market talk show talent. She had a radio show. She's the executive producer of that show. The reason why that show's successful is Oprah Winfrey, unless, of course, I'm missing something.
What about that Stedman guy?
What do you mean, what about Stedman? You telling me he's the brains behind the operation?
You don't know.
Yeah, okay. And Todd's the cat that made Sarah Palin everything that she is.
You don't know.
You know what, man? I don't know. You're right. I don't know. But I'm betting money, and all the money I got I'll put up against everything you guys have, including all the bottle caps, to say that Sarah Palin is a bad choice to replace Oprah with. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'll explain the whole thing to you.
Yeah, break it down, man. Because you always go and belittle the thing what I say.
I'm not belittling anything. I'm telling you where it's coming. You know, I'm the guy that knows. You don't, okay?
Hey, man, I was saying that's a good idea.
It's a rotten idea. It's a rotten idea. Rotten to the core. Putting Sarah Palin on in place of Oprah Winfrey is rotten. Rotten. Here's why. First of all, it's the logical thing that those numbnuts would do. The guys that put Oprah on the air... And they don't know why she's successful. She knows why she's successful. She's the one that became successful. The clowns that run that show, they don't know why. All they know is they had $1 million. They had a license to print money when they put her show on. So now what they're going to do is use the small brains that they have, put them all together to see if they can get one full-size human brain and come up with a replacement for her. Now, naturally, they're going to think of Sarah Palin.
Then why wouldn't that be a good idea if the brains that they put together said to do that?
Because they're idiots. That's why. Do you understand? They're idiots. The guys that run the broadcast business don't know why things are successful. They just throw something on there. Oh, look at that. It worked. No, my brother. They'll try and put her on the air. If she's smart, she'll say no. And if she wasn't smart, which some people may find a topic of discussion that's worthy, she would go on the air. She'd last 8-9 months. She'd be bored to tears, and she'd want to quit. Now, here's what they're, and what they'll do is they'll look around for a big name. Now, here's what they ought to do. What they ought to do is find, what did they do when they wanted to replace Johnny Carson? They brought in that kid Conan O'Brien, right? Now, who knew who Conan O'Brien was? Nobody. And they put him on the farm team, and they had him there on the overnight thing, and they worked it and worked it and worked it, and they developed him, and boom, man, they're going to move him right in there. They got him in there, and now his numbers stink. So I guess that's...
Yeah, see, that blows that.
Well, it was an idea anyway. But, as far as replacing Oprah Winfrey with Sarah Palin, yeah, that's what some of those guys would do. And if any of them are listening right now, remember where you heard it for the 955th time. Don't do it. And Palin, don't you do it either. Now, Lou, you may be the... What if they put Lou Dobbs in there?
That'd be a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, that's right. Lou... Oh, boy, oh boy.
Well, why not? He has everything that you said.
Lou Dobbs replaces Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. Is he going to walk through the crowd wearing a dress?
He could get into some slacks.
If they got him in a slack, just a light slack. A light slack. You know, if you cats were running that show, the guy had come around the corner that runs the advertising agency and he would say...
You blow it!
All right, now here we have the movie... just get out of here, will you? Quit bugging me. Here's the movie New Moon Midnight. It earns a record $26.3 million. You remember we talked about this show on the air the other night because there were some kids up there. They wanted to go see the movie. Their parents wouldn't let them see the movie. They thought the picture of Sarah Palin with the quote-unquote camel toe was child abuse. They were going to blackmail their parents into seeing the movie. Maybe they all went and saw the movie. Anyway, the Twilight Saga, New Moon, has set a box office record for midnight screening. Summit Entertainment estimated Friday that it earned $26.3 million after opening early this morning. That would topple the previous midnight record. See, they've got all kinds of records. They've got the 4-day weekend record, the 3-day weekend record. They got the 2-day weekend record. They got the 8 o'clock opening record, and now they have the midnight screening record. This is called busting it down, getting the demographics. That would topple the previous midnight record held by Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. That earned $22.2 million this year. The Dark Knight from 2008 is third with $18.5 million. New Moon is the second installment of the popular Twilight series. It opened at midnight in 3,514 theaters with a per-theater average of $7,000. That's a lot of theaters. That's some, you know, that's not what we call one of these art house rollouts, okay? There's a guy by the name of Paul, and then his last name is unpronounceable, kind of like Prince's. Anyway, Paul, unpronounceable last name, is a box office analyst for Hollywood.com, and that's all he's ever going to be with a last name like that. And he says the midnight start, quote, portends an opening weekend that could be one of the biggest of the year. You understand? And an opening weekend that could be one of the biggest, not the biggest of the year. So what he's basically saying is, that ain't a bad job, but compared to what's coming down the pike, it could really suck. All right, MSNBC today... what is this? Twilight Moms Love Film. MSNBC today profiled a bunch of middle-aged mothers who are Twilight fanatics.
Actually, I got a big high five from Kellen Lutz tonight. He liked them a lot.
To me, it's one of the best love stories because it's Romeo and Juliet. It's Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
It's Pride and Prejudice. It's everything rolled up into one.
The woman who wrote it, she took something from a dream and turned it into something, you know, to share with everybody in all ages. You know, it's not just a teen movie.
Cuddle with me.
All right, so there's a lot of middle-aged mothers there, probably wearing the tight spandex and inappropriate kinds of clothing with the boxed wine under their arms, and they enjoyed it. So New Moon, midnight record, $26.3 million. And I'll see that band the next time it's in a hotel room someplace.
Yeah, that's how you saw Inglourious Bastard. That's how you saw that.
Yeah, that's how I saw that, man. That's how I saw that. When I was in Atlanta, it was in the in-room movies, and I watched it, okay? Because you know what? I can't take crowds, especially you. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Don't forget, on our website is a live streaming video. You can go to philhenryshow.com and watch the show. You can listen to the show on live streaming audio. You can download the show the next day, so you'll always have a copy of our show that you can carry around and show to people, and it'll get you into some good places and like that, you know. Also, Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Cuddle with me.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. As you know, people have stopped listening to each other in this country, and the reason why people have stopped listening to each other in this country is they've already decided, with the McDonald's minute realm of and capacity of concentration that we have, they've already decided that they're right and the other person's wrong. And as you also know, because there is no substance to the argument going on right now, I'll give you an example here. This comes from the right. Today, I was watching these two douchebags on MSNBC talking about Sarah Palin and what a real slob she was because people didn't dig her because she was getting up from a book signing and leaving, right? Well, that was one of the most pathetic displays of so-called commentary and journalism I've ever seen in my life. And it was this guy that fills in for, what's his name, Matthews, right? What's the guy's name?
His name's Lars Jones or something.
Lars Jones?
Yeah.
Not Lars Larson, he's a conservative.
No, Laura or something.
Laura? What the hell are you guys talking? Whoever the guy was that was filling in, Lawrence O'Donnell. Where'd you get this Lars stuff?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, Lawrence O'Donnell is, I don't know what he does for a living. I know they throw him down in that chair so he can pretend he's Chris Matthews for a while, which probably isn't all that difficult. I like Chris Matthews only because you can see the spit flying from his mouth, and O'Donnell is just one of those gray men, you know. If he sort of fades in and out, man. The suit's there, but the actual guy fades in and then fades out and fades in and fades out. And he never says anything that's all that interesting. Today, because he was completely out of material, he brought on that smarmy little bastard, that Democratic Party analyst, Joe Blow, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And they together began to dissect Sarah Palin leaving. What the hell is in my... Something's beeping.
It's called a cell phone.
I know it's a cell phone. Get out of here. Together, they dissected Sarah Palin's appearance, and people are upset. Now, this is the kind of thing they run with at MSNBC. I'll give you an example. Boy, Sarah Palin was really rude, and she doesn't get it, and she left, and all those people were pissed. I got you. Okay. Now, you guys know, and I mean Lawrence O'Donnell and that other twerp, that when somebody does a personal appearance, and they say to that person, how long would you like to sign the books for? Well, how about 3 hours? You know what? That's a bad idea, Governor. You're going to be very, very tired. Let's make it two. All right, let's make it two. Thank you. So she sits down, and her staff figures 2 hours worth of signings. At some point, they have to cut the line off. You're too late. The governor's only going to be here. We advertised 2 hours. Thank you and good night. Well, those people now are pissed off because they didn't get to have their book signed. So they magically go from being big Sarah Palin fans who plunked down the money for her book. Now, magically and without any sleight of hand, they suddenly hate her guts, right? The other part of that is that when you're sitting there and you're signing books and you're signing whatever it is you're signing, your life away for that matter, the people want to stand there and talk to you. They want to say, oh, Governor, you're the greatest thing since canned beer, and boy, what an ass you got, and I would marry you in a second, and oh, yeah, you're a Republican, isn't that interesting, and I just love you, you know. And you have to be polite, and she probably will talk, and then somebody goes down and whispers in her ear, you got to move these people along. Well, thank you very much, you know. So if you move them along too fast, then they're pissed off. So this is the reality of doing a signing. Why do I know? Because I've done a couple of them. You don't want to make anybody angry, but you're always going to make somebody angry. It doesn't matter. You can show up giving out $1,000 bills, man. They're going to be pissed at you for something. But because they don't have anything to report on over there on the Lawrence O'Donnell filling in for Chris Matthews show, they take that and they turn that into a Sarah Palin political failing. Right? Right. Now let's move over to the other side. Because I will not, I don't give a damn, I will not join forces with these people, you know, they don't represent anything that's real. On the other side, we have a billboard appearing on I-70 in Missouri that declares American citizens should prepare for war against the government. Critics of the billboard point out that the Lafayette County Republican Central Committee in Missouri has an image of the billboard prominently displayed on its website. Now, the billboard displays the message, "A Citizen Guide to Revolution of a Corrupt Government," and then it lists actions for Americans to take. So this is what the Lafayette County in Missouri Republican Party, where I know that we're on the air and you can hear me right now, and you people, you know, your brain power left a long time ago, we all know this, but for you to put a billboard up like this, I guess you're all out of the ability to argue, aren't you? Number one, starve the beast, meaning don't pay taxes, I guess. Number two, vote out the incumbents. Number three, if steps one and two fail, prepare for war, live free or die. The new billboard replaces a similarly toned billboard which warned that the socialist Obama was coming for you. The sign read, "How do you like your change now? Obama Nation, they're coming for you. The taxpayer, First and Second Amendments are in jeopardy. Live free or die." According to Think Progress, it's unclear who the owner of the billboard is, but the first one was the work of a Missouri businessman. I'm not saying anything other than the following. Before John Kennedy had his head blown off in front of hundreds of people on a street in Dallas, they had those wanted John Kennedy posters up all over Dallas. Wanted for treason. Wanted for treason. Treason. Do I think that those things cause assassinations? No, I do not. Do I believe that there are unbalanced jackballs who are empowered by certain things? Yes, I do. Am I going to blame these people in Lafayette County if something were to happen to our president? No, I wouldn't. But I do blame them for this, putting up a billboard that asks for people to prepare for war that they themselves haven't got the guts. Not in a million years have they got the guts to follow through on what it is they're asking people to do on that billboard. Not in 10 million years do you guys at the Lafayette County Republican Central Committee have balls big enough to follow through on any of your claptrap. You understand what I'm saying, right?
You're saying they're gutless.
Yes, yes. Billboards are easy. Number two, Colorado billboard links Obama with jihadists. A billboard showing president. Now, that's basically calling him a traitor. So the Colorado billboard there is calling Obama a traitor. The Missouri billboard is asking people to prepare for war, live free or die. If half of these people at the Lafayette County Republican Central Committee were standing there at Bunker Hill or anywhere around Boston in the 1770s and somebody handed them a musket, they'd wet their pants, probably head on into the nearest tavern and hide behind what's-his-face, Crispus Attucks.
Who's he?
He's the guy that got shot at the Boston thing.
Yeah, he's a black guy, too. You ought to know.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, he's a black guy.
He's a black guy got shot? Why?
He was at the Boston Massacre. Look it up. All right. A billboard showing President Barack Obama wearing a turban has sparked a lot of attention at the suburban Denver used car dealership that put it up. A used car dealer, huh? Good idea, pal, because I know the stuff you're selling probably isn't exactly given the good word of mouth, so maybe if you put up something like that, people will say, hey, Harry's the guy that put that billboard up. Let's go over there and see if any of those pieces of crap he's got actually run. The sign, completed Friday by artist David Lee, shows a grinning, cartoonish Obama and bears the words, "President or Jihad." Underneath the president's image is a big yellow square with the phrase, "Birth Certificate, Prove It." So the birthers are in on this? Every imbecile that ever put on a three-cornered hat at a Tea Party rally is in on this. Anybody that ever bought a coffee mug from Glenn is in on this. Anybody that ever shouted out, "Let freedom ring," at a Hannity personal appearance, you know. Anybody that ever tried some of that hair growth tonic that O'Reilly is hawking on his website, you know. So,
why don't you try it?
Because I'm kidding, and I'm not going to try it, and he's not selling it. Anyway, the words, "Wake up, America. Remember Fort Hood." So now the murder of 13 individuals has been co-opted by this scum-sucking dog at this used car dealership to promote his agenda against Obama's probably everything. The birth certificate, the health care plan, the fact that he actually exists, anything. "Remember Fort Hood" appears at the bottom of the billboard at Wolf Interstate Leasing and Sales, about 7 miles west of Denver, The sign is visible from Interstate 70. An Army psychiatrist, as you know, Malik Hassan, is charged with the murder of 13 people at Fort Hood in Texas. Lee said, the artist, there were plenty of honks from car horns as he painted the billboard. One lady came by and gave me the shame, shame look, said Lee, of Arvada, Colorado, another suburb of Denver. Dealership owner Phil Wolf was unavailable for comment on Friday, of course, but he left his general manager hanging in the lurch. A guy by the name of Wayne Means, a poor bastard, had to stand there and answer questions. And he said the business has seen strong opinions about his sign. We've had people come by and say, keep it up. And I didn't know they knew that I was dysfunctional. I said, thank you very much, and I'm trying that extends. And then he said, we've had people come by and say, take it down. And that's when I unzip. And then they say, no, the billboard. And he said, oh, okay. We have differences of opinion. You'll pardon me. I'm a used car salesman. This is America. It ain't going to be America for long if prepare for war and Obama or jihad keeps circulating there at the coffee klatch, pal. It won't be America. It'll be France, 1790s, which was the Reign of Terror. You understand what that is? Or do you got to look that one up, man? It ain't in the blue book. All right. The left-leaning advocacy group MoveOn.org, which is not populated with too many great brains, called it racist because that's the first thing that comes out of the mouth of anybody at MoveOn.org, Daily Kos, or any other place where they don't think too deeply about these things. And they were asking customers to boycott the dealership, which is probably racist in and of itself because maybe this guy that owns this dealership, well, he's probably white, but still. Lee said the billboard has previously held other slogans questioning the president's citizenship along with the routine ads for cars. At one point, you know, I got to tell you one thing. I don't know who the cartoonist is. I'll find his name. There's a cartoonist. And this guy is about as low as it gets. This bastard put up a cartoon about Obama being some kind of a low-lying dog and a lying sack of crap, all this stuff, right? If you go to the guy's website, you find that while he's doing these anti-Obama cartoons, guess what else he's doing? He is, in calligraphy form, selling for $10 Obama's acceptance speech with a very nicely done profile of the president and the acceptance speech words. It looks like a parchment. It's done in gorgeous calligraphy. And on the same website this guy is hawking this crap about Obama being a turd, he's hawking his inaugural speech saying, yes, this powerful message from our president can be yours for only $15. Do you understand? You know, guys, I've been telling you about this with 9/11 Truth. All these people, these are the pilot fish. These are the piranha. These are the jackals. These are the people that come along and pick at the carrion after the big animals have had their dinner, and they see what it is they can pull off the bones. Some dirtbag follows along and says that Obama is a scumbag on the one hand, but hey, would you like to buy his speech on the other, right? I'm going to find this guy's name, and I'm going to give it to you before the end of the show. I promise you that. Anyway, the fringe so-called birther movement claims that Obama was born outside the United States, blah, blah. Obama's Hawaii birth certificate, along with birth notices from the two Hawaii newspapers, were brought forward, boom, and nobody believes it, and because they haven't got anything else to say about Obama, because they couldn't really argue why it is they don't like him, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That's the latest man on billboards. I'll just say, you guys there in Lafayette County, Missouri, prepare for war. You bastards be hiding in the closet. Boy, oh, man.
That takes a pair.
A pair? I'll tell you what, man, they're going to have to get all the guys together from Lafayette County and maybe some of the outlying regions and put all their testicles in a sack and maybe come up with one good set between all of those guys. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. All right, so here I got a cartoon here, and then we're going to get to the Dr. Greenthumb report. And coming up, we've got, who's coming up first?
Dean Wheeler on Winfrey
And I know. Okay, Dean Wheeler on Oprah Winfrey. And later on, we have Vernon Dozier on the California and the national education system. Here's a cartoon that this guy Jerry Breen did of Obama, and it's a picture of Obama who says, because of the March on Selma, my parents got together and I was born, which was one of these things that people said Obama claimed, which he didn't. Glad I could clear up any misunderstandings. He's standing in front of a series of statements with a pen, and he's crossing them out and rewriting to correct them. His Kenyan father was a Muslim, nope, crossed it out, atheist, not religious. His Muslim, that's crossed out, not religious, stepfather moved him to Indonesia and enrolled him in a Muslim, crossed out, not school. Then he was enrolled in a Catholic school of a Muslim, not student. Once a week he was, so it's basically saying that Obama is a revisionist and Obama is a liar. Now, this cartoonist by the name of Jerry Breen has a website. On the very same website that this dirtbag has got all this anti-Obama, he can think anything he wants, and the people that love his crap, obviously are going to, read his crap. But this guy is a lowlife because under calligraphy, he's selling, in his own words, Obama. A great gift idea, just $10 with shipping. You can get the words of Barack Obama's keynote address at the 2004 Democratic National Convention, the speech that made this little-known senatorial candidate a rising star in American politics. This was the speech in which Obama first articulated his vision of the politics of hope that inspired the nation. It's the perfect gift for anyone who believes in Obama's vision of America's future. This portrait has attracted worldwide acclaim and has been printed in leading European publications. So he's using a mixture of truth and lies. The portrait that he uses for the calligraphy, yes, has attracted worldwide acclaim. Jerry Breen hasn't attracted anything probably other than flies. But he's got his calligraphy here. And it's just such a marvelous thing, and everybody should own this. But if this isn't your thing, why don't you go over and take a look at How I Savage This Man, because that's selling too. In other words, folks, it is a cottage industry. The anti-Obama and the anti-progressive movement, all of these both of those movements, the anti-progressive, anti-Obama, and the anti-conservative, anti-Republican Party, this is a cottage industry that is populated with little tiny people who want nothing more than to make a dollar, and so they'll savage people without any proof of anything. They will repeat lies, innuendo, and rumor. They'll use the same tired argument over and over and over again until they're finally exposed, and then they slink back into their, underneath their baseboard. You know, the whole thing about it's going to be a national plan, the socialism thing, because most people don't know what socialism is and don't bother to look it up. And because most of the people who say that Obama's a socialist wouldn't know what it was if their lives were in danger. But it's a nice little phrase that kind of gets people crazy, right? By the same token, talking about the presidency of Bush or the mission in Iraq and Afghanistan, talking on the one hand about how much we support our troops, but on the other hand, have you seen Anderson Cooper's piece on murder at the canal? You know, these soldiers, was it murder? You know, so you guys are in trouble. You guys that are listening tonight.
Yeah, listening to you.
They ain't in trouble listening to me.
No, but I'm saying it's a good thing they are.
I'm telling you right now, you're in very serious trouble because the people that you rely on to give you opinion that is solid and that is informed and that is, state-of-the-art, man, they're lying through their teeth to you because all it is at the end of the day is a couple of bucks to them. I don't care who you mention. Anybody. And it makes me laugh when people say, and these politicians, you don't trust politicians, but you're going to sit there and listen to, I don't care who it is, Rachel Maddow, Glenn Beck, you think these guys are actually telling you something. All right, let's do this, and then we have, because I don't want to do all the talking tonight, man. We got Dean Wheeler coming up. I'm sure he's going to make way more sense than me. It's time now for a little Dr. Green Thumb. Yeah. State senator says that legalizing or lessening criminal penalties for marijuana may be the one way to curb overcrowding in Arkansas prisons. Do you think? Senator Randy Laverty, a Democrat from Jasper, said Thursday he wanted to wait for legislative research and data from the Department of Correction before he decides whether to sponsor legislation to lessen or eliminate criminal penalties for the drug. This comes at a time when Los Angeles County authorities are thinking of shutting down all medical marijuana clinics because of the stupid bastards that opened them up and were smoking weed out in the parking lot and basically running the place like it's a frat house. Thank you. In Wichita, Kansas, a man and woman who reported to police that robbers stole their marijuana are now facing charges themselves for being just so stupid that it's got to be criminal. Let's look it up, Charlie. The 32-year-old man and the 29-year-old woman told police five armed men came to their Wichita apartment late Monday night and took their marijuana. When the cops said to them, you know, it's illegal to have marijuana, they went, what? The police said one suspect accidentally fired his gun and spooked the other. They ran from the apartment to a white Cadillac, dropping the marijuana along the way. Police found more marijuana inside the apartment, so they booked the couple that reported that their weed was missing on a suspicion of various drug charges, including selling drugs within 1,000 feet of a school. Brilliant! Maybe it was the people who are putting up those billboards. All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. That's our Dr. Green Thumb tonight. Coming up next, of course, it's Dean Wheeler on Oprah Winfrey.
Phil Henry.